You may be visiting Churchill in Canada to see polar bears, but it's worth stopping by the Eskimo Museum before you head out onto the tundra. Garth Hardy is assistant curator of the museum, which has a slightly inaccurate title.
Eskimo is a generalized term for all the indigenous people living in the Arctic who are Eskaluit language speakers. There are a number of subgroups of Eskaluit, and there are a number of subgroups of those speakers. Inuit is the correct term for indigenous people who are Nuktitut speakers who live in the eastern and central Canadian Arctic, but for example, in the northwestern Canadian Arctic, the people refer to themselves as the Inuvialuit. In Greenland, it's the Kalaallit. There are the Yupik peoples in Alaska, the Aleuts and the Unengas in Siberia and the Aleutian Islands. So if referring to all those groups together, the only word that exists is Eskimo, but the rule of thumb is to refer to people as they self-identify.
In terms of the way these people lived, just sort of group them all together as Eskimo then, how do animals contribute to their lifestyles?
Traditionally speaking, as with most indigenous cultures, there's a material and spiritual tie to the land and what the land provides. And so in particular in the Canadian North, which is the most part above tree line, animals are particularly important for everything because they contribute to not only food sources, but they contribute building materials from their bones and skin, clothing from their skin. In some cases, they make things like sled runners. It's radio, so you can't see it, but there's a picture of two men above the cabinet who are building a sled runner from frozen fish and caribou skins. So you can begin to see and appreciate how important hunting and animal food sources are to people in the Arctic. And that importance continues today. The Arctic isn't food secure without hunting and fishing.
And how is that governed today? Because presumably there must be rules around it because we have so many issues around conservation and things like that.
The Inuit are guaranteed hunting rights through legal agreements that they have with the government of Canada. The Inuit are a First People, so they had established their own rules around hunting long before there was a European presence in Canada and long before, I would argue, there was a Canadian presence in Canada. So the rights that they had prior to European settlement are protected as being a First People. Certain limits are set on the amounts of animals that can be harvested, as is the case with, say, the bowhead whale, where I believe it's 3 whales can be harvested a year in Nunavut, and the communities that get to harvest them, it rotates from community to community, which communities can take them. But beyond these sort of federal restrictions on certain animals, there are also a number of community restrictions and rules around hunting. So, for example, some communities may say that, a pod of beluga whales comes close to the community. Some traditional rules around the hunt may be that you don't shoot or harvest the first 5 whales that come in because you don't want to scare them all away by doing it, and more may be coming. So there are both sort of federal level rules, but then community rules as well.
Now, you mentioned that a lot of this is to do with food security, so that makes sense. But obviously not every single part of the animal is eaten or wants to be eaten. So how else is the rest of the animal products used?
Nunavut is a modern territory, so people have access to modern clothing and modern goods. So while there are people who still make and use and wear traditional clothing, it's not what it once used to be.
And how important also is the animals in their art?
I think animals and the land itself reflects very heavily in the art. When you look at the collection in the Churchill Eskimo Museum, what's very, very present in nearly all of the cabinets is that spiritual and material tie to the land. And so you see depictions of animals. You also see depictions of traditional belief around animals. For example, there's a number of carvings that depict a drum dancer, so the body of a drum dancer, but with the head of an animal. And those are depictions of a shamanistic transformation. And you see those transformation scenes throughout in carvings, but also just depictions of carvings, depictions of hunting scenes as well. Really, if you think about art as a reflection of everyday life and imagine what everyday life is like for an Inuk carver, you can sort of get a sense of how animals would factor in.
That's Garth Hardy from the Eskimo Museum in Churchill, Canada. For more information, visit churchill.ca.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.